Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. Now here is your host, etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. I'm Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady. Today is Sunday, November 2nd, 2014, and we are broadcasting live from the lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia. We will discuss the proper way to interact with persons with special challenges. So please stay tuned. Well, welcome new listeners and loyal listeners. Thanks so much for being a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. We are so delighted that you are spending part of your Sunday evening with us. Now, we know that we are blessed to have listeners of all ages. We want to take just a brief moment to talk about the origin of etiquette, especially for the new listeners. Now, etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. And I don't know about you, but that is certainly what I want. Well, the word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. These rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And so I always want to send out kudos to Charles I and II. And of course, if you don't necessarily remember the backstory, just remember etiquette is a fancy word for manners. Well, wow. I am going to bring on my special co-host this evening. Her name is Lanice. Lanice, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you as well. I'm doing well.
Great. Well, listen, as you know, I have been planning and looking forward to doing this show for a very, very long time. And with you also co-producing the show this evening, thank you so much, I am so excited about our panel of experts. And so those of you listening, you may want to go ahead and grab a pen or a pencil or something to write with, because certainly going to be a power-packed show with information. And you might want to go ahead and tweet it and text your friends and let them know we are going to talk about the proper way to interact with special needs or whoever has special challenges with the population. Now, I would like to say, Lonnie, think about this. Of course, we all know that everyone has challenges. And, of course, some can be seen, some are unseen. And, of course, the challenges we'll discuss this evening are the challenges that can be seen. We'll talk about physical challenges, blind, deaf, wheelchair-bound, speech, autism. So pretty much we will cover the entire spectrum, okay? Now, when you encounter, I just want listeners, just listen to these questions for a minute. I just want you to ponder on these questions. Now, when you encounter the physically challenged, how do you react? Do you speak loudly to people who cannot see? Do you offer not only to help but to take over? Most physically challenged enjoys independence and freedom, so you don't have to take over. So that's certainly one of the things we want to talk about this evening, and making you comfortable and interacting with these wonderful people. Offer your assistance and just simply follow their lead. What do you think about that, Lonnie?
I think that's actually wonderful advice. Majority of all individuals who are challenged, we all have challenges in life. You know, everyone has a challenge, and everyone wants to try to overcome that challenge on their own. So, you know, I just feel like it would be beneficial if we looked at anyone that has any type of challenge the same way as you would yourself. You know, there's nothing any different. They may need a little more assistance, but that's really about it. They're no different from anyone else, from you and me.
And that's what we really want to get across this evening, is to, you know, make people really understand, to get them to understand and indeed to be comfortable, because oftentimes when we're uncomfortable, we just simply cause uncomfortable situations because we don't know what to do. Well, I tell you what, I want to go ahead and get started with our panel. As I said, we're just so excited that we have such a power-packed panel with us this evening. I'm going to go ahead and begin with Lynn Pekovich. And let's see if we can pull Lynn on this evening.
Hi there.
Hi, Lynn. Are you there?
I am here.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just heard something that you said, and it already got me thinking of something that I wanted to add to what you just said.
Oh, well, absolutely.
All right with you?
Oh, absolutely. By the way, Lynn is with Just Like Home LLC in Ohio. And then, Lynn, if you would just tell them a little bit about yourself, that would be great.
Oh, okay. I'm somebody that's worked with people who have disabilities for approximately 40 years or so. But prior to that 40 years, I grew up with two deaf parents and know quite a bit about the deaf culture and am now starting to get involved with other disabilities as well. And one of the things that I wanted to say was that when you talk about making people feel comfortable or uncomfortable when you're talking with them, I think one thing that's really important that people be aware of is that the person with a disability has been interacting with people who don't have disabilities their entire lives. So the person that is actually the mostable is the non-disabled person.
Mm.
And people tend to think, oh, well, you know, they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. They don't want to say the wrong thing. And that is all very true, except for the fact that the person, that the disabled person is already comfortable with you because they've been doing this their whole lives, if that makes any sense to you.
Wow, great point. Absolutely.
Wow.
Thank you.
That is
for
an awesome point.
And that certainly puts a spin on things to see who's really comfortable and who really isn't. You can go right ahead if you'd like.
Well, when I was growing up, I would have friends come over to the house. And they would all say, oh, well, I don't know what to say to your mom. I don't know what to do. And I used to kind of as a joke, I would say to my mother, for example, I would say, my friend just said that the dinner that you just made for her was the worst possible thing you could ever have given her to eat. And my friend would be totally taken aback by me saying something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what it did was it got them to jump in and say, no, I didn't say that. And it got them all part of what was going on. And I think it's important that people realize that it's not all as uncomfortable as you think it might be.
Very good point. Thank you so much for that. Absolutely.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wow. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to we're going to certainly keep you on. All of our panelists, we're going to just kind of keep them on as we move through the show. And you know, if you want to make a comment or a point, just, you know, let us know who you are and jump right in there. I want to go ahead and go to Sandy Winkleman next. And Sandy is a national advocate and autism expert. Sandy, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Sunday to you.
Yes, happy Sunday.
And if you would, Sandy, if you would just also just take a moment to let our audience know a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm a mom of four children. Two of them have autism. And my youngest son was one of my children who I had to take some advocacy efforts for to get private schooling. He had pretty severe autism at the time. And so my journey began by having to file due process, which is the venue or the avenue which you take to get services for your disabled child when the school district doesn't want to provide them. So during my process, I had to do this on my own because I couldn't afford an attorney and I was running out of resources. So I took the advocacy on my own and ended up having to challenge whether parents needed an attorney or whether they could do this without an attorney, because they were saying parents do not have rights. The rights only belong to a child. So I don't know how I got that far, but I got all the way to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the pretty high court in the federal system, and they decided that parents have no rights, and so therefore I was practicing law without a license, and they didn't give me much time to find an attorney, but I was instructed to either get an attorney or my case would be dismissed. So I was very lucky that Cornia, who was watching the docket and read all of my work and said that I was absolutely correct and that the court had made a decision that was wrong and we need to challenge it. And the only way to do it is to petition to the Supreme Court, which I had no idea what that meant at the time, but I was like, okay. So I ended up at the United States Supreme Court on the issue of whether parents have rights under the IDEA, which is the Federal Special Education Act or law. And the United States Supreme Court did agree with me that parents have rights and it doesn't only apply to the children. So after that process, which was a very big, it was huge for parents anyway, I still had to challenge my school district to getting them to pay the tuition for the private school. So I still had that matter to take care of, and I was very lucky that attorneys were following my case, welcomed, you know, help to come to Ohio, and I learned a lot through the process. I learned a great deal. So now I am what I call a parent trainer. I'm teaching parents the process and what their role is, because there really isn't anyone teaching parents. You go to the meeting, you have no idea what exactly you're supposed to be doing there. And so if families are having issues, I can help them to understand the role. But if it becomes a legal issue, I highly, highly recommend they have an attorney. It's just not a process that a parent really, really can navigate. So unfortunately, even though the Supreme Court said we don't need an attorney, it's a do or die situation. You really should get one. It's a very legal driven process. They haven't parent friendly, so to speak. So that's what I'm doing now today. I'm helping parents learn the role and I'm helping them navigate through the school process.
Wow. Wow, that is absolutely phenomenal. Thank you for that. And of course, when you were speaking of, you know, when the need is for an attorney, we do have attorney on the panel this evening as well. And so we'll be hearing from her momentarily. And I want to go ahead and bring on our next panelist. And in case you've just joined the show, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about how to properly interact with the special needs population. And so far, we have received some great information from Lynn Pekovich with Just Like Home LLC in Ohio, Sandy Winkleman, who's a national advocate and autism expert. She also provides parent training as well. We want to bring on Ms. Natasha, and let's see if we can bring her on. And this is Natasha Zuba. Natasha, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Well, good evening, Natasha. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Sunday. Thank you so much for joining us as well. If you would, take just a moment to let our audience know a little bit about yourself as well.
Okay. I've been teaching for 11 years. I've taught from specific learning disability, cross-categorical classroom, emotionally disturbed kids, all the way from kindergarten to 12th grade. And that's about all.
Okay. Wow, thank you. And so let me ask you something. I am going to get to our emails. I'm also monitoring our phone lines as well. It looks like our switchboard is pretty much packed out as well. And callers, thank you so much for your patience. We're going to pick you up momentarily. Wanted to certainly go ahead and bring on our final, fourth and final panelist this evening so we can have everyone on. And then as we begin to start answering some of your questions, you can feel free to call us at 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295, or you can email us at etiquetteladies@gmail.com. All right, let's see. We want to go ahead and bring on, we're talking about an attorney, Attorney Michelle McGuire. Are you there, Attorney McGuire?
I am. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Sunday to you.
And to you as well.
Thank you so much. If you would, also, just tell the audience a little bit about yourself, if you would, please.
Sure. I am a special education attorney. I practice in the state of Ohio, although I'm primarily based in the Cleveland area, although I've been known to travel to all parts of the state of Ohio. And I got into this field about 5-6 years ago, when a really good friend of mine had her son had been diagnosed with autism. He was pretty severe on this scale and was really struggling in school. She was having a hard time getting the school district to work with her, and there just really weren't any attorneys in this area that were offering to help her. She ended up going to school with somebody who connected her with Sandy Winkleman. And so my friend said, well, I have this great advocate trainer who is working with me, but she's not an attorney. We need an attorney. And so that's how I kind of got in the field, and I've been blessed to work with Sandy Winkleman. And we've been just really make it our priority to help the parents help their children.
Wow, that is certainly that's wonderful. And as you can see again, as I mentioned to you listeners, we certainly do have a power-packed panel here. Lonnie, co-host here, I just wanted to bring you in on the conversation as well and to just kind of see what your comments are.
Well, the only thing I have to say is I believe that all of these women are very fabulous, and that's what we need when it comes into the community of anyone who has special challenges in their life. All of these women seem to be the type of women that step up and step up to the plate. And we need so many more women like the ones that we have on the panel today to help us to be able to overcome and, you know, face a lot of issues. I can speak very well for Sandy as well as Attorney Michelle McGuire. They are awesome ladies. They've helped me, actually, with my son. I have a child that is challenged. And I can't even begin to exude the appreciation I have for these two women. They are very special women. And I thank them very much. And it's just wonderful for people to know that there are people out here in the world like this. You know, some people think the world can be cold and disconnected, but it really isn't. There's a lot of wonderful people out here, and these women on this panel are it's just an example of that. So I thank you all.
Wonderful. And once again, let me second that. I certainly thank you all for being with us this evening. I'm going to go ahead and go to the phone. I'm going to start picking up some of our calls. Extension 4542, hello. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? Hello? Okay, they may be just listening. Okay, that's fine. Let's go to extension 8479. Hello? Hello, 8479. Okay, we'll come back. If you are, okay, let me try one more line. Extension 4362, go ahead with your comment, please. Hello?
Hi.
Hello, can you hear me? Okay, I'm not quite sure what's going on with our phone lines. We apologize for that. Let me go ahead and pick up some of the emails. What I have is, it says, Etiquette Lady, please ask your guests about diagnosing special needs. And this comes from Carol in Pittsburgh. And so either one of you ladies can take that. It seems like it's kind of a pretty broad question.
What exactly is the question again?
She says, please ask your guests about diagnosing special needs. Sounds like she's kind of wanting.
Well, I see Sandy. Did you want? I could answer. What I would generally tell a parent is that they should start with their pediatrician, and they should get referrals to speech and language therapists, to an occupational therapist. If there's motor issues, meaning physical, then it would be physical therapy as well. So you get those evaluations completed. And then there is also a neuropsychology department or developmental pediatrics in most hospitals, you know, children's hospitals, where they can do assessments as well. And basically that's where you start.
Okay. All right, Carol, thank you for that question.
Well, actually, if you don't mind, Etiquette Lady, one of the things that I would like to add, and I wonder if this is something that Natasha probably would agree to, is that, and I can only speak from, you know, for if you have a special needs child or a student, and if you're struggling in school but you don't have a diagnosis yet, while you are working with the medical professionals and trying to find a diagnosis, if your child is still struggling, there's still things that you can do. There's still support and help that the school can put in place to help while you're going through the diagnosis procedure or process. And I'm sure, you know, Natasha probably has some experience when she sees kids struggling in the classroom. They're able to contact the parents and say, hey, something's not working here. What can we all do to try to give some support so that you don't lose time in the classroom while you're working with the medical professionals to get that diagnosis?
That's true. And also, as a parent, you can always request from the school system that you want your child evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
And they have about, I think, 30 days to do that. So So if you suspect something, you can always, if the child is school age, you can go to the school and request an evaluation for your child.
I also think it's really important that when you're going about the evaluation process, that you do try to get some expertise in with you on your exploration of this, because there are a lot of people, and I hate to say it this way, but I'll say it anyway, there are a lot of people that think they know quite a bit about disabilities and want to put words in your mouth and want to set things up the way they think it should be set up. And it's important that they become aware that there are actual laws that protect people that have disabilities. And that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
When you're evaluating
a person. People don't have the information. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. When people don't know what they're looking at, they think that they can just go ahead. And I'll give you an example. I used to work for Cuyahoga County, and I was called in to a meeting with a number of the county architects, and they were looking at making buildings accessible. And when they were describing it to me, they were describing a whole scenario of things that could be done to make the properties accessible, but none of those were in compliance with the law. They just simply were thinking that was just a good thing to do. But if you have your ducks in a row and you've got people supporting you, I think that's really important, because otherwise you can get just talked right down to. And I'll throw that in there. I hate to be negative, but that's what I've run across a lot in my life.
Well, sure. This is Helen. Absolutely. You know, and I think what you're saying is absolutely right on. And, you know, I try to tell parents that even when they're advocating what they think to the, you know, their best, and there's a whole team of people who are trying to tell them to go in a different direction or this and that, that's why it's so important, kind of what Sandy does, is to make people their own advocates. You can be your strongest advocate for yourself if you have disabilities, or for your children who have disabilities.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Great information. And ladies, for the benefit of the listeners, when you chime in, if you would be kind enough to just identify yourself so they'll know exactly who's commenting and
I'll
saying what.
That.
Okay, not a problem. Thank you so much for the information. What we're going to do at the moment is we're going to take just a really quick break, and everybody just sit tight, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show is sponsored by Pages Etiquette Seminars, LLC. Pages Etiquette Seminars provides both personal and professional development training for all ages and offers motivational and training materials such as What is Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. This book covers introductions, writing thank yous, table and telephone manners, and much more. In addition, the book What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key ingredients for building successful working relationships. Some of its contents include How to Master the Art of Networking, Business Over Lunch, and How to Impress Your Interviewer, only to name a few. Pages Etiquette Seminars, that's www.pagesetiquette.com, www.pagesetiquette.com.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Call us now at area code 347-324-3295. That's 347-324-3295. Or email us your comments at etiquetteladies, ladies plural, at gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies at gmail.com.
Okay, and we are back. Once again, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. We are having a wonderful discussion with such a great panel of experts. We're talking about how to interact
with the special needs population. Lonnie? Lonnie, are you?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Absolutely.
Yes, I'm here.
What wonderful information we've heard thus far. What do you think?
Oh, I told you. This is a very powerful team here. They're awesome ladies. And it's so informative, you know. They are very informative. And I definitely agree with a lot of the things that they're saying, because I've had to go through that, because my son does have, like I said, a disability, or he's challenged. And all of those things I definitely agree with, and listening is still teaching me things when I hear these ladies speak. So I appreciate that.
And I am, too. I'm learning so much. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Extension 4362, hello. Thanks for calling. What is Etiquette Anyway? 4362, hello. Can you hear me? Hello? Okay, so writing, we will see if we can pick up one of our other phone lines. Not quite sure what's going on with our extension. We will keep trying. We'll come back here in just a minute or two. Let me try, let's see, 4542. Hello?
Hello?
Hi there. Thanks for calling What is Etiquette Anyway? How are you?
I'm well. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. If you would, you can, just give us your first name and your comment, please.
Well, my name is Andrea. I'm calling. I've been working with the geriatric population for a while and practicing occupational therapy with them. And I've noticed and I've learned that socialization is a very important need all across the board, as children and even in the geriatric population. When they're diagnosed with new disabilities or diseases, or as things happen in their lives so far as death, the way that they deal with them, it's important that they have some kind of socialization. And it appeared to me, I have a brother with a physical disability. Cognitively, he's amazing. I mean, he's amazing all around. But it appears to me that there is no category. There's no category. They don't. It appears to me that the way this community receives children that are different is that they just put them all together, that children are different. And I don't feel as though there's enough out there. I don't feel that there's enough resources, or maybe I don't know where to look, but to provide these children with the appropriate amount of socialization that it is that they require to make a friend that's like them, or you know, an adult that's a friend. Are there any kind of programs or any kind of peer interaction programs that these children can be a part of so that they can have a friend to look forward to, or someone just to be there with them that they can communicate with on some kind of level? Is there
my name
a program?
What's that?
I was saying, is there any kind of program or activity or organization that provides a special, like, one-on-one interaction with these children so that they can socialize and be in a nurturing environment to socialize and be who they are and be embraced for who they are, as opposed to being separated from other children?
What state are you in again?
I'm in Ohio.
Oh, okay. There are places, depending on, you said he has a physical disability?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's different places. Like my nephew, he's in wheelchair basketball. He's in it for, it's the Junior Cleveland Cavaliers. And I think it's called Youth Challenge.
Okay.
It's all different kinds of programs, from sports to music programs. It's all different programs. And I think they even pick you up for that. They can pick him up to go. And that's all I know.
I was going to say, this is Michelle. And I know from having a lot of my clients have this issues as well, where after school is out, you know, their children still want to participate in activities, be a part of the community and meet friends. And, you know, some of the places that they have found would be some churches, some of the larger churches do have groups for all sort of different children with disabilities where they're socialization groups. So that might be something to look into as well in your neighborhood to see if that's offered.
Oh, thank you so much.
Wonderful.
Well, this is
lady.
Lynn talking. And in addition to the churches that are out in the community, there are also programs that are affiliated with the government, specifically the county.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody gets involved with either a Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation in looking for jobs, or they are looking for just plain and simply socialization activities, you can go through county services, and there's just a whole lot of different programs out there. And they're mainly connected with the type of disability that somebody has. I work for a program that has deaf, developmentally disabled adults. It's kind of a specific group, but you'd be quite surprised at how many people out there need that kind of service. And we do take people on excursions. You know, we go to the zoo, we go to stores, we go roller skating, you know, different activities that people can participate in. So the county's a good place to look.
Great.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Great.
You're
wonderful information, ladies. Once again, I'm so grateful that you all are on. Thank you so much. Then I go back to emails. It says, Etiquette Lady and Panel, what is the correct procedure for filing a complaint against a teacher who treats my daughter unfairly? She has special needs and complains about how the teacher treats her. She is 15 years old. And thanks for great information on your show every week, Etiquette Lady. This is from Paula B. in Baltimore. So she wants to know the correct procedure.
Sure. You know, I'm struggling to think of exactly how to explain it because there's a couple of different avenues, especially with a teacher. So you could always make a complaint with the state about how you feel that your daughter is being treated unfairly and why. Or, you know, if she has an IEP, then she can maybe argue with the school district as far as saying whether or not it's being properly implemented. Is the teacher creating a situation that is causing, you know, the student to have different behaviors or to not be able to access the curriculum? You know, those are sort of like the legal avenues for it. But really, before you even get to that point, you need to spend some time talking to the teacher, talking to maybe the principal or the director of special education services within the district to see if there's some other way to resolve the issue without having it escalate to a legal issue.
Okay.
Document,
thank you so
document,
much.
Document.
Yes.
Very good, very good. Let me see if I can pick up another call. And callers, thank you so much for your patience. Extension 4362.
Hi, how are you? My name is John, and I'm from Ohio. I would like to thank all these ladies that are on this show, giving their comments and their expertise. It's very informative. I have a son that does have a disability, and just to let him know, it's very informative what they've on this show, and if I were to need any assistance, I would definitely know where to go to. Thanks again.
Wonderful. Thank you for your call.
You're very welcome.
And I certainly commend you ladies as well on what you're doing. And I thank you. I am so very grateful. In fact, let me just take a moment to applaud each one of you. Certainly do appreciate that. Okay, let's see. I have an email that says, "Etiquette ladies and guests, what are the different types of autism and what age is the diagnosis common?" And this is John from Atlanta.
Well, I don't know that there is necessarily an age cutoff. Usually when people are in their beginning stages of life, so more of the, you know, a year to a few years old would be where most people get that diagnosis, because you can see the delays in the areas of growth or speech and language, and that sort of gives a cue to the pediatrician to explore it further. But it could happen later, just depends, because sometimes if an individual is more high-functioning, it might not really be caught until that student or, you know, child is older in elementary school or high school. Usually it's caught around then and diagnosed.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Here's a message that says, "Etiquette lady and guest, I'm grateful that you are doing this show. I have a daughter who is blind, and people talk to me instead of her. I tell them they can talk to her, and they react like they don't understand. Can one of your guests elaborate on this?" This is Myra from L.A. Thanks, Myra, for that question.
I would like to address that question.
And this is
Lynn.
Lynn, okay.
Lynn from Just Like Home.
Okay.
And I have a lot of experience with deafness and also with blindness. And that's an extremely common occurrence where people will talk to the non-disabled person, talk to their parents, talk to their sisters and brothers, talk to anybody else in the room but that person.
Mm-hmm.
And there really is no way to just interrupt them politely, but if there's some way that you can direct the conversation to the person that they're actually speaking to and try to make the situation a little more comfortable, a lot of people are just, as I was saying earlier, just plain uncomfortable with the situation, so they tend to drift off the subject, not get that person's feelings or thoughts about anything. It's a real problem in the field, especially if you're working with guardianships and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I know last week we did our pet peeve show, and there was a young man that called in. Yeah, we do our pet peeve show a few times a year. That gives people an opportunity to sort of get some things off of their back in a nice way. But
right.
I do recall a young man calling in last week, and he was saying one of his pet peeves was when he's speaking to someone and obviously they don't think that he's speaking quickly enough, they go ahead and just start over-talking him.
Right.
And, of course, we know that's very rude, and we've talked about that. So, you know, we don't want to do that. And that can be real common for people to do that. Like, they're in such a hurry to hear what you're saying that they want you to be in a hurry to also say it. And so, and that's rather unfair. So we want to make sure, as we talked about this last week, we certainly don't want to do that. And for those who may not be aware that they were doing that, you might want to be conscious of that from now on. Now, I have a message here. It says, "Etiquette lady, thanks for the work you do with the show. I know you covered homeschooling a few weeks ago and would like to know if your guests know of homeschooling programs for the physically challenged." This comes from Ms. Pauls from Marietta, Georgia.
Well, I know if you're physically challenged, a lot of the homeschooling programs, there's a lot of online opportunities. So that would probably be something that would be helpful, because then you can log on anywhere in any way and be able to access learning.
Okay, and I would assume that they also differ from state to state, do you think?
Yes, I would assume so, too.
I do.
Okay, all right, and it I just kind of want
to... It would be different from state to state as well as, I think, disability to disability. There are some disabilities that don't lend themselves freely to speaking on the phone or using a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And those particular groups need to have their needs addressed in a different way. That's just something I'm throwing out there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Sandy. I'm just wanting to make sure that the caller knows or the email that they know that the student with the physical disability has the right to attend school and receive any and all accommodations necessary.
Okay. That's great information.
And isn't that generally addressed in the IEP?
Right. Well, I wasn't sure why they would want to, you know, do the home program, if it's just because of, you know, convenience, or was there a reason? It's just that some parents don't realize keeping children home, I mean, after you've been home a while, you're kind of isolated from interacting with peers and different people and experiencing.
Exactly.
So we want to make sure everyone understands that, you know, you should be able to attend school and receive everything necessary. But if that's a personal option or just a personal decision to keep the student home. Of course, homeschooling is becoming quite popular right now because of the climate. The social climate isn't very conducive. It's very difficult for individuals without disabilities to go to school right now. But I understand why people would choose that. I just want to make sure everyone knows that you can go to school with accommodations. They have to provide those. The school does.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Great. I have a message here. It says, Etiquette Ladies, kids are so cruel, and I would like to know why their parents don't teach them how to be nice to people who are different from them. And this comes from Sandy, and Sandy she's 8 years old, and she lives in Michigan. Sandy, thank you so much, first of all, for listening to our show. And thank you for your question. I think I'll start out by taking that question. Yes, it's for some reason, you know, and kids seem to be a little more cruel than others as far as the teasing, and it's just so not good at all. And she is asking, why don't the parents teach them any different? Well, and we always say that, you know, you want to, and when I work with kids and when I'm teaching my etiquette workshops, I always try to tell them to remember the first rule of etiquette, which is the golden rule, and that is to treat others the way you want to be treated. And I try to make sure I kind of drive that home to them and then give them some examples and make sure that they do understand they want to treat others like they want to be treated, not necessarily like how other children may be treating them if it's unkind. So we want to make sure that we do that. And parents, yes, I do want to you know, say to you to please make sure your children are not, you know, being cruel to other children. And we know that we just, October was National Anti-Bullying Month, so we're aware of that. And so I know a lot of the children and a lot of the school districts around the country talked about anti-bullying and why it's important not to bully, and then to, you know, initiate more acts of kindness. And once again, Sandy, thank you for that. And as parents, yes, we should do our part in trying to make sure that our kids are being a little nicer to others. That is very, very important. Going to take just another quick break, and we will be right back in just a moment.
PDQ Electric, LLC, is a full-service electrical contracting company specializing in both commercial and residential services. These services include home renovations, panel upgrades, and camera installations. Additional services provided are electrical repair, emergencies, new construction, renovation, tenant improvements, exterior and interior landscape lighting, retrofits, and service installations, only to name a few. From design to finish, our experienced professionals will provide the expertise to ensure your electrical project is completed on time, on budget, and up to code. PDQ Electric LLC received a 2013 Best Contractor Award from Home Advisor. Visit our website at www.pdqelectricllc.com. Once again, www.pdqelectricllc.com, or call 404-509-9051. 404-509-9051. PDQ Electric LLC.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Call us now at area code 347-324-3295. That's 347-324-3295. Or email us your comments at etiquetteladies, ladies plural, at gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies at gmail.com.
Okay, once again, we are back. You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, where we've been talking about how to interact with the special needs population. Our panel has been Lynn Pekovich from Just Like Home LLC, Sandy Winkleman. She's a national advocate and autism expert. Natasha Zuba, she's a teacher certified in moderate to intensive disabilities in the Cleveland, Ohio Metropolitan School District, along with attorney Michelle McGuire. And my co-host and co-producer this evening is Lonnie Scopa. I want to thank you all once again. And just kind of in closing, if you all would like, you know, if anybody would like to leave the audience with any particular information, maybe about a minute each would be great. And just, you know, say who you are, and you can go right ahead.
Okay. Well, my name is Lynn Petkovich, and I work with a program called Just Like Home, LLC. And I think that's about it for me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lynn. I certainly appreciate it. Okay?
Sure. And I'm attorney Michelle McGuire. I work for in the special education field representing families with their children who have special education needs.
Okay.
And my name is Sandy Winkleman, and I am a parent trainer. I like to teach parents how to be an advocate for their child, and if I could be of any help, you can reach me at 440-570-9171, and I'd be glad to help you in any way.
And if you could give your number one more time for those who may have been scrambling around for something to write with, even though they
sure
were supposed to be taking notes. So go back in.
It's 440-570-9171.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And I didn't think of leaving my phone number, but I think I'll leave that too.
Mm-hmm.
So my number is 440-305-2698.
Great. And if you can repeat yours one more
Lynn
time as well, that'd be great.
Sure. And I'll do the same. I didn't even think of that either. But again, this is Michelle McGuire, 440-396-7844. Again, 440-396-7844.
Wonderful. And I think, have we heard, let's see, was that everyone on the panel?
No, I believe Natasha.
Natasha.
Yes.
Natasha
Zuba.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, Natasha.
Natasha Zuba from the Cleveland School District.
and been teaching her 11 years. And I just wanted to close with that, you know, you should always try to treat everyone the same. And just because someone may have a physical disability doesn't mean they have a mental disability. And I would just like everyone to treat them just like any other person.
Great point.
And I am Lanice Popa, the co-host, and I would like to finish off with the piggybacking off of Natasha, basically, is that make sure that just as adults out here, even if you do not have a child with a challenge, a special challenge, try to understand it and kind of learn a little bit more about it. Ask questions. The children would prefer for you to ask a question than for you to stare or for your children to stare. Get to know children who have special challenges and reach out and learn so you can teach your children. I did send my son early on to a school that had also regular peers as well as children with challenges. And those parents were wonderful parents. And if we can get more of that in the world, I think that it would make it a little bit better for people who do have these challenges. And that's really all I want to say. And I just want to thank everyone for actually coming on today and helping to educate people on all these different topics that you guys are experts in. And thank you again.
And very well
said. You're very welcome.
We certainly do appreciate each and every one of you. I would certainly like to applaud you all once again. And in case you join the show a little late, the show's all archived, so you might want to go back and, listen to the show again so that you can actually hear the show in its entirety. And, of course, each and every week on What is Etiquette Anyway, we always remind you to initiate a random act of kindness, and this week is no different. We're going to take a moment to do that right
now. It's time for Random Acts of Kindness.
All right, this week it says, "Dear Etiquette Lady, my family and I listen weekly when you remind us to do something nice. My brother raked my neighbor's yard and didn't take any money. I know that was hard for him. We were proud of him. His name is Timber, and he is 12 years of age." And this is the Johnson family, and they are in College Park, Georgia. So that's real cute. So we know we have a lot of families that listen. Thank you all for listening. And we want to certainly cheer on Timber for that. That was wonderful. And so she says, of course, since, you know, we remind him to do something nice, you know, he probably couldn't believe it, but he did it, and we are so proud of him. Well, once again, I want to thank our illustrious panel for joining us this evening. Lynn Pekovich, Just Like Home, LLC, Sandy Winkleman, national advocate and autism expert, Natasha Zuba, teacher certified in moderate to intensive disabilities, and attorney Michelle McGuire, and, of course, my co-host and co-producer of this show, Ms. Lonnie Popa. Once again, I applaud you all. Thank you all so much. For wonderful, wonderful information. And I want to remind you that if you have an etiquette question or if you have an etiquette topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, be sure to let us know. Tell your friends and family about us. After all, we are trying to make the world a polite place to live. We know we can only do that one person at a time. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. Thanks again for tuning in. Thanks for calling. Thanks for your messages. We'll talk again next week. Good night. Take care, and God bless.
And thank you.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway?
the Talk Show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.